We're here today at the Global Observatory with Special Representative of the UN Secretary General and Head of the UN Support Mission in Libya. Yeah, Martin, thank you very much for being with us today. Let's start with your job in Libya. Next month, there have been scheduled elections in the country. What role will the UN mission play in these elections? And in your opinion, what are the key challenges for this election to turn out in a good way?
The challenges are really immense because these are the first elections in Libya for some 47 years, and the last elections under the monarchy were very limited in their democratic nature. So there's almost no living memory of participation in real elections in Libya. Of course, no election machinery to inherit, so that the election commission has had to be created from scratch. First, the National Transitional Council had to agree an electoral law, and the first role of the United Nations was to provide expert assistance as they were considering the legal framework for the elections. And then once the Elections Commission was established, our electoral team has been working closely with them as they take all the decisions as to how voters are going to be registered, how candidates are going to be registered, political entities that are able to participate in the proportional part of the election, and set up administration, find offices, recruit staff, train them. And I think it's really quite remarkable that when the Election Commission was only created in late January, on the 1st of May, voter registration opened across the country. It's now going on in more than 1,500 voter registration centres using schools. And I'm going to be able to tell the Security Council this afternoon that over 1 million people have so far registered.
Now, focusing on security, how much you are concerned about the situation on the ground? I'm referring to recent attack on an interim prime minister's office. What are some of the main challenges for the security sector reform, the mobilizations, how the UN mission is supporting this process?
Again, the challenges are very great and the legacy is a very difficult one. Libya today is only beginning to recreate an army. Gaddafi, in fact, kept the real state army weak and relied upon his own parallel brigades and security structure. The police force needs an enormous amount of training and development to become a robust body, so state security forces are very weak. And at the same time, there's a need to integrate or demobilize the revolutionary fighters who've been organized into a large number of brigades. And in the short term, those brigades are both necessary for public security. They continue to be responsible for security in towns and cities and neighborhoods at vital installations, an auxiliary to the National Army when there are local conflicts. And yet, of course, some of those brigades are also the threat to security. And what we saw with the incident at the Prime Minister's office, which wasn't the first such incident, came out of the discontent of some of those in the brigades regarding confusion around the treatment of war wounded, where there's a lot of anger, but even more payments that the government announced for members of the brigades. But then clearly when an unreasonable number of people were coming forward, stopped in order to be able to put in place better controls. And of course, some of the most disciplined brigades regard others in indisciplined elements as taking advantage of the situation. So those are very, very great challenges. And the dilemma, I think, is that the creation of a new army and a proper police force are inevitably long-term tasks, as we know from any post-conflict situation. And yet in the context of Libya, the need to integrate the revolutionary fighters into those state security forces and to bring them under state authority is urgent. And there's a very particular need to build effective border security, which is a huge challenge and one of great concern to both Libya itself because of illegal migration, but Libya's neighbours because of arms proliferation out of Libya.
As you just said, the challenges are immense indeed. Last time you were in New York in March, you told the Security Council that a light footprint was needed for the UN missions in the country. to help Libya with the transition to democracy. Yet, if we look at the mandate, it looks quite ambitious, and for a relatively small civilian mission. Now, how will you prioritize your support to the Libyan authorities? And maybe if you also articulate how is your relationship with the Libyan authorities and how they see the contribution of the UN there?
The mandate is really focused on three main areas. Support to the democratic transition, which means at the moment the current elections, but beyond that, constitution making, a constitutional referendum and the first elections under a new constitution. Secondly, public security, the challenges we've just discussed. And thirdly, human rights, transitional justice and rule of law. But beyond the focus on those three areas, we have a general mandate to coordinate international assistance wherever the Libyans want that support. And they do want that because relations between Libya and UNSMIL are actually extremely good. The United Nations has a very strong standing in Libya, not just because of a great deal of gratitude for the Security Council resolutions of last year, but going all the way back to the establishment of independent Libya. Most people in New York have forgotten, if they ever knew, that the UN played a key role in the emergence of independent Libya in 1950-51, but the Libyans certainly haven't forgotten. And so the relationship is a strong one, and we are, I believe, able to do a lot with a relatively small team on the ground, and then bringing in additional expertise as the need is identified in different areas. The Libyans never wanted boots on the ground of any kind from the international community. They do want international assistance to be, wherever possible, coordinated by the United Nations, and are a little wary of bilateral assistance, even from those they view of their friends. I think we've been able to be effective in the lifetime, very short lifetime, of this interim government, but there'll be a very important relationship beyond that with the new government that will come into existence after the elections, and of course in addition to UNSMIL's role on the areas I described, the UN country team will be strengthening its long-term contribution as longer-term state building can get underway.
Now, a novelty of the UNSMIL mandate is the support to the development of Libyan civil society. And what are some of the challenges you foresee in implementing such a specific task?
Well, there's been a wonderful outgrowth of civil society. Indeed, it began during the revolution in the East and more recently elsewhere. But again, it's somewhere where there's no recent history. There was no independent civil society. And therefore, there's great enthusiasm, great commitment, great vibrancy, but very little experience, organizational experience. The United Nations is working in many different areas right now. Voter education, of course, and broader civic education is a priority. Our human rights team has been working with emerging human rights NGOs to encourage them to monitor the human rights situation and become internal advocacy organizations. The role of civil society in the coming constitutional debate will be extremely important. Women's organizations, of course, are seeking to promote women's empowerment in a socially very conservative society. Young people are determined that the role of youth in the revolution should be reflected in future as well. So there's a great interest in gaining from the experience of civil society elsewhere in the region and more broadly. The United Nations is only one route for providing that. Many other international organizations, the European Union and others, are also involved.
Now, if I can ask a last question, which is more based on your personal experience with the UN. Much has been said on how Libya is a sort of a new experience for the UN. You have been in many places with the UN, from Bosnia to Ethiopia, Timor, Nepal. How is Libya different from previous cases? What's, if you have to identify the main difference between the previous UN missions and the ones you are leading now, what is the key difference?
The first thing to note is that Libya is a rich country, doesn't need donors. So the term donors is almost irrelevant in the Libyan context. What Libya is conscious of needing is technical assistance. It's conscious of having been isolated from the international community, from international best practice through the Gaddafi years. So while there are many extremely able professionals in different fields, many of them have been working out of the country, and there's almost no institutional experience. So it's a very unusual combination of considerable financial and human resources and yet very little institutional experience. So on the one hand, there's determination that the future is going to be one, a nationally owned one, and I believe a classical mission that was not a light footprint mission would not be well received in a country that isn't accustomed to strong engagement with the international community. But there's a real desire across the board to now have access to the kind of international experience from which Libya has been isolated.
Thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome.